Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, translated by J.R.R. Tolkien. When the siege and the assault had ceased at Troy, and the fortress fell in flame to firebrands and ashes, the traitor who the contrivance of treason there fashioned was tried for his treachery, the most true upon earth. It was Aeneas the noble and his renowned kindred who then laid under them lands and lords became, of well-nigh all the wealth in the Western Isles. When royal Romulus to Rome his road had taken in great pomp and pride, he peopled it first, and named it with his own name that yet now it bears. Tyrius went to Tuscany and towns founded, Langobard in Lombardy uplifted halls. And far over the French flood, Felix Brutus, on many a broad bank and brae, Britain established full fair, where strange things, strife and sadness, at whiles in the land did fare, and each other grief and gladness oft fast have followed there. And when fair Britain was founded by this famous lord, bold men were bred there, who in battle rejoiced, and many a time that betide they troubles aroused. In this domain more marvels have by men been seen than in any other that I know of since that olden time. But of all that here abode in Britain as kings, ever was Arthur most honoured, as I have heard men tell. Wherefore a marvel among men I mean to recall, a sight strange to see, some men have held it, one of the wildest adventures in the wonders of Arthur. If you will listen to this lay but a little while now, I will tell it at once, as in town I have heard it told, as it is fixed and fettered, in story brave and bold, thus linked and truly lettered, as was loved in this land of old. This king lay at Camelot at Christmastide, with many a lovely lord, lieges most noble, indeed of the Table Round all those tried brethren, amid merriment unmatched and mirth without care. There tourneyed many a time the trusty knights, and jousted full joyously these gentle lords. Then to the court they came, at carols to play, for there the feast was unfailing full 15 days, with all meats and all mirth that men could devise, such gladness and gaiety as was glorious to hear, din of voices by day, and dancing by night. All happiness at the highest, in halls and in bowers, had the lords and the ladies, such as they loved most dearly. With all the bliss of this world they abode together, the knights most renowned after the name of Christ, and the ladies most lovely that ever life enjoyed, and he, king most courteous, who that court possessed, for all that folk so fair did in their first estate abide, under heaven the first in fame, their king most high in pride, it would now be hard to name a troop in war so tried. While New Year was yet young, that yester-eve had arrived, that day double dainties on the days were served, when the king was there come with his courtiers to the hall, and the chanting of the choir in the chapel had ended, with loud clamour and cries, both clerks and laymen, Noel announced anew, and named it full often. Then nobles ran anon with New Year gifts. Hansels, Hansels, they shouted, and handed them out, competed for those presents in playful debate. Ladies laughed loudly, though they lost the game, and he that won was not woeful, as may well be believed. All this merriment they made till their meat was served. Then they washed, and mannerly went to their seats, ever the highest for the worthiest, as was held to be best. Queen Guinevere the gay was with grace in the midst of the adorned days set. Dearly was it arrayed, finest sandal at her sides, a ceiling above her of two tissue of Toulouse, and tapestries of Tarja that were embroidered and bound with the brightest gems one might prove and appraise to purchase for coin any day. That loveliest lady there on them glanced with eyes of grey, that he found ever one more fair, in sooth might no man say. But Arthur would not eat until all were served, His youth made him so merry with the moods of a boy, he liked light-hearted life, so loved he the less either long to be lying or long to be seated. So worked on him his young blood and wayward brain. And another rule, moreover, was his reason besides, that in pride he had appointed. It pleased him not to eat upon festivals so fair, ere he first were apprised of some strange story or stirring adventure, or some moving marvel that he might believe in, of noble men, knighthood, or new adventures. Or a challenger should come, a champion seeking, to join with him in jousting, in jeopardy to set his life against life, each allowing the other the favour of fortune, were she fairer to him. This was the king's custom wherever his court was holden, at each famous feast among his fair company in hall. So his faith doth proud appear, and he stands up stout and tall, all young in the new year, much mirth he makes withal. Thus there stands up straight the stern king himself, talking before the high table of trifles courtly. There good Gawain was set at Guinevere's side, with Agrawain a la Duermain on the other side seated, both their lord's sister sons, loyal-hearted knights. Bishop Baldwin had the honour of the board's service, and Ywain, Urien's son, ate beside him. These dined on the dais and daintily fared, and many a loyal lord below at the long tables. Then forth came the first course, with fanfare of trumpets, on which many bright banners bravely were hanging. Noise of drums then anew, and the noble pipes, warbling wild and keen, wakened their music, so that many hearts rose high hearing their playing. Then forth was brought a feast, fair of the noblest, multitude of fresh meats on so many dishes, that free places were few in front of the people, to set the silver things full of soups on cloth so white. Each lord of his liking there, without lack, took with delight, 12 plates to every pair, good beer and wine all bright. Now, of their service I will say nothing more, for you are all well aware that no want would there be. Another noise that was new drew near on a sudden, so that their lord might have leave at last to take food. For hardly had the music but a moment ended, at the first course in the court, as was custom been served, when there passed through the portals a perilous horseman, the mightiest on middle earth in measure of height, from his gorge to his girdle so great and so square, and his loins and his limbs so long and so huge, that half a troll upon earth I trow that he was, but the largest man alive at least I declare him, and yet the seemliest for his size that could sit on a horse, for though in back and in breast his body was grim, both his paunch and his waist were properly slight, and all his features followed his fashion so gay in mood, for at the hue men gaped aghast, in his face and form that he showed, as a fayman fell he past, and green all over glowed.